While Brother Combs was singing that, I wasn't laughing at Brother Combs up here. I was thinking back right after I got saved. I knew I had to get my music right. And so nobody told me what to do. And then just shortly after I got saved, I went and bought a CD. Or actually, when a CD, it was a tape by Jimmy Swaggart. And that song right there was the title song on his tape. And by the way, Brother Combs, you did a better job too. But I listened to that over and over and over. And I was thinking about that up here while Brother Combs was singing. You remember that, Terry? I was kind of afraid you remembered that. But, you know, in my circles where I grew up, you know, he was just one of those guys. And I recognized his name. I thought, hey, here's a cassette tape with him on there and the song. So it's got to be good music, right? Take your Bible, Revelation 3, if you would please. Revelation chapter number 3. We're going to read about the church of the Laodiceans for just a moment tonight. And I want to talk to you tonight about living for God in a Laodicean world. Living for God in a Laodicean world. There are many that believe that the Laodicean church represents the church age that we're in right now, and I'm not going to dispute that because a lot of the things that this church seemed to have a problem with is what many of us seem to have a problem with in Christendom today. But, you know, just because the world may have a little bit of that, or a lot of that, I should say, probably Laodicean spirit, doesn't mean we can't live for God in a Laodicean era, in a Laodicean world. You'll understand more as we read. Would you stand with me, beginning in verse number 14, Revelation 3 and verse number 14. Jesus speaking says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now I want you to stop right there, because in verse number 18, things change a little bit. You know, I've been reading the scripture for 25 years now. Since I've been saved. And I've read this passage over and over and over again, but you know sometimes you just read and just kind of blow past it. But Jesus, speaking to this church, says in verse 18, "I counsel thee." Did you notice that? He said, you got all of these issues. He says, now listen to me, "I counsel thee." He said, I'm fixing to give you some instructions about what you need to do to make these things right. And what you need to do to live for God in this day and time, in their day and time. He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich." He says, "And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." He says, number 3, "And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." He says, number 4, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And he says, number 5, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He says, "Because, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Living for God in a Laodicean world. Now, Father, I want to ask you to meet with us tonight. Nothing new tonight. Everything's very simple. But, Lord, there just seems to be so many in Christendom, not necessarily here in our church, but outside here, that just seem to think that it's just impossible to live for God in our day and time and be separated and be sold out in our day and time. Be God-honoring in everything that we do. But according to here and your counsel to this church, Lord, it can be done and it should be done. We ask now that you'd meet with us. Open our hearts now to what you have to say to us. In Christ's name I pray it. Amen. You may be seated. Laodicea was a city of wealth. Its people loved and enjoyed the finer things of life. You see, Laodicea was a city of people that were very self-sufficient. Did you notice it said they had having need of nothing? They were very self-sufficient. They were very wealthy. Let me give you a perfect illustration. As I was studying this city, I found out that in AD 60, the city was flattened by an earthquake. The Roman government was issuing funds to help restore and rebuild the cities in that area, and they offered to the people and those in charge, I'm assuming the mayor and the city council and all those other people that they had in the city, they offered financial assistance to them, and they resisted it. They said, we don't need your money. We'll rebuild the city ourselves, like we want it rebuilt, not with that Roman flavor to it. They said, we don't need your money. So here we find out that they were self-sufficient, and Paul said, having need of nothing, remember that? He said, you think that you've got so much money and so much of that you don't need help from anybody? And may I say, because of this independent spirit, self-reliant spirit that Laodicea had, they literally became the Pharisees of the free world. It's quite an unusual city. You see, Jews from all over the world came to Laodicea. Even from Jerusalem, they gathered to Laodicea, flocking to Laodicea for this new contemporary way of thinking. This free will thinking, this self-sufficient ideology. And it was something that was like a magnet to them, and it was drawing Jews from all over the world to this area, to this city. You see, this direction of independence became very appealing to many. So much that the Laodicean ideas began to filter into the church. And thus we have the letter to the angel of the church at of the Laodiceans. Now may I say to you tonight that when we hear the word Laodicea or Laodiceans, normally it does not carry a good connotation. If we know anything about the Scriptures, and if you're versed at all in the Scriptures, you know that when the word Laodicea mentions, it normally does not in line with very many things that are very good. Very little about these people were good because they were so independent, so self-reliant, so self-sufficient that it actually spilt over into the church, and thus the letter we have to the church of the Laodiceans. Now may I say to you tonight that Laodicea is an attitude. Let me say that again. Laodicea is an attitude is what it is. These people had an attitude. And the attitude is, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to build my city. Don't tell me what to believe. I don't need what you have. And so many don't seem not to need what God has for us in our life. You see, it's a developed spirit that prevails because of the climate of our day. You ever looked around lately? You know what the biggest problem of the world today? Not only the biggest problem is most of the world's lost. But after that, you know what one of the biggest problems the world has? We're self-sufficient. We got money in our pocket. We got food on the table. We got shoes on our feet, house to live in, car to drive. Kind of sounds like we have need of nothing. So therefore, why are so many churches empty tonight? You know why? Because so many people don't need church. They have need of no spiritual things. They don't need preaching. They don't need what they feel is important in their life. You see, it's a non-caring, self-driven, self-promoting atmosphere that we live in today. It's an attitude that reeks of humanism and socialism. If you go read anything about Laodicea, that was right down their alley. That was the philosophy, the ideology. You see, that freedom, that humanistic philosophy, that socialistic philosophy promotes freedom. Free food, free health, free sex, free will to do as you wish, free everything. And that was the kind of idea, see? And you know what? That was kind of new to the people of that generation, and they began to flock to it. They kind of like that independent thinking. They kind of like that independence from anything and anybody. You see, it's an attitude of non-committal. Did you notice it says they were neither cold nor hot? They didn't want to commit to anything. It's the reason we have people that live together. Do you hear me? I said that's the reason we have people that live together outside of marriage, because they don't want any commitment. You see, the generation, the attitude, the Laodicean attitude, non-committal. Don't want to commit to anything. Okay? Don't want to do anything. We don't make any commitments. And yet, that attitude prevailed. You see, its poisoning thought process has led us away from Bible principles and practices and too many into self-worship. You see, Paul warned Timothy that this was coming. Let me remind you in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." He says, "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." He goes on in verse 4 and says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I don't know if you noticed a common theme about those two verses, but I want to point out a couple things about these two verses here that I think promotes the idea and the philosophy of the Laodicean attitude. Did you notice it says that they turned away their ears? You see, it was a choice. They decided, you know what? I'm not going to listen to what you have to say anymore, because what you have to say, that has nothing to do with what's going on in 2010. That has nothing, that preaching, that singing, that has nothing to do with our generation today. You see, they turned away their ears. Did you notice there also that it says, "But after their own lusts"? They decided what they wanted. They decided what kind of church they were going to have, what kind of music program they were going to have, what kind of philosophy and methodology that they were going to have. That's the reason it's addressed as the church of the Laodiceans. That independent attitude, that independent spirit. And then he says, they heap to themselves teachers. You see, they got away from the things of preaching that caused conviction, that caused Holy Ghost revival. They didn't feel that was important anymore, so you know what they did? They heaped to themselves teachers. They decided that, you know what, we're going to bring in somebody that agrees with our philosophy. Regardless of where that matches up with the Word of God, we're going to bring somebody in that matches up with what we believe. Now listen to me, you got to be careful with that attitude. Because the next thing with that attitude is then they begin to publish their own Bible. Right? Because no longer does their philosophy line up with the Bible, so they have to publish their own and call it like another gospel or something, or a new translation. You see, that's the next step. But you know where that comes from? That comes from that independent attitude. It comes from that self-sufficient, self-promoting attitude. You see, they can no longer endure sound doctrine because it's not relevant to their generation or their world. It's too archaic. It won't reach the people of our day. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? You see, so they abandon churches that preach strong against sin, that preach strong against Satan, that preach strong against separation, and that requires a little bit of service. And you know what they're doing? They're abandoning churches that preach this to find a place where they can go where there's very little commitment. You know why? Because that's the philosophy, that's the ideology of the Laodicean attitude. No commitment. They want to go somewhere where they don't have to be either hot or cold, where there's little to no commitment involved. You see, the Laodicean attitude is being fueled today. You know what I think it's being fueled by? I think it's being fueled by lifestyle demands. Because we're so busy doing everything but serving God. We're so busy we don't have time to do anything else but make money, eat, and sleep. And lifestyle demands have caused that attitude that's prevailing not only in our world today, but it's starting to creep into the church like it did at Laodicea. More finances to buy more so we can do more, have more fun. You see, it's even filtered into the world of our churches today, that attitude. This is why so many are removing their name of their denominational affiliation. By the way, again, no commitment. You follow me? You know why they're taking, you know why they're taking Baptist or whatever else they got on? You know why? No affiliation. No commitment. See? They don't want to be committed to any form of doctrine. So what's the easiest thing to do? If people drive by and they see Baptist, that immediately identifies us with a body of belief, right? So you know what? If we've got the Laodicean attitude to where we're neither cold nor hot, the easiest thing to do is just take Baptist off, just call it Trinity Church. Right? Hey, that's all I'm saying. You know what that is? That's the Laodicean attitude. It's what it is. You see, this attitude prevailing around us is absolutely, listen to me, frightening the people of God to the place to where they begin to isolate themselves. They're afraid to expose their families, their kids, to anything. You know why? They're afraid because that Laodicean spirit is not only in the world, but it's trying to filter its way into the church. See? And families in the church are afraid. Let me ask you this. Did God intend us to be Christian hermits? Of course He didn't. Okay, then what do we got to do? What do we got to do to strengthen ourselves and live for God when the Laodicean attitude is all around us and it's knocking at our church door every Sunday morning, wanting in? That independence, what I want, the kind of preaching I want, the kind of music I want, the kind of ministry I want, it's knocking at the door constantly. All right, so what are we going to do? Well, we got some good news because Jesus gave the counsel in verse 18 and 19. He said, I counsel thee. Now listen, folks, when you hear those words and Jesus said, I'm going to give you some instructions on how to overcome this. I want to give you some instructions about what you're to do, how you can live for God in the area that you are and where your church is, in this case, in Laodicea. Independent, humanistic, socialistic ideas prevailing all around them. And they've got to serve God in this city? I mean, they've got to go out and knock on doors with people with this attitude? How can we do it? Because they probably thought the same thing that we think. Man, look at this world. Man, we're going to hell in a handbasket. How can we live for God in a world like this? People are going crazy. Here's the counsel. Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Now, wait a minute now. He didn't say buy of the world. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Everybody agree gold's pretty expensive and pretty valuable? Do you know we have something in our possession that is very valuable to us? It's the Word of God. And you know in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 23, the Scripture encourages us to buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. So you know what Jesus' counsel was? He says, you want to live for God in this city? You want to live for God in an area that's all promoting itself and humanistic and socialistic and free everything? He says, here's what you do. Buy of me gold. May I say to you tonight, acquire it. Get it. Pay for it. Say, pay for what, Brother Todd? You're going to have to take that book right there. And his advice is, buy the truth and sell it not. You say, man, that's pretty simple counsel. You know, most counseling's pretty simple. Once you identify the problem, the counseling's pretty simple. Now, the thing about it is, a lot of us, we want to go and we want to take a notepad because we want the counselor to give us a step-by-step instructions of what to do day by day, hour by hour. It's not what he did with his church. He said, here's my counsel. Buy of me gold. He says, buy of me gold. Buy of me that which is valuable, tried in the fire. Everybody agree that this old King James Bible has been tried in the fire? Yeah, it sure has. And I still have it in my possession today. He says, that thou mayest be rich. So what do we have to do, folks? We've got to purchase the truth, buy the truth, and sell it not. You see, I'm not talking about exercising our money. I'm talking about exercising your faith in this book, that every word of God is true. And just believe it. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, let me give you a couple things. First of all, how about just read the Word of God? You say, how can I live for God in this Laodicean filthy attitude world? Read the Bible. Read the instruction manual of life. Get in it. Read it. Can I tell you, looking at this today, I began to read in the gospel several times. People would come, Pharisees, Sadducees, publicans, people would come and ask Jesus questions. And you know one of the things that he'd come right back to them? Have you not read the Scriptures? Know you not what the Scripture says? That's pretty simple, isn't it? But can I say this to you? That's the counsel he gave these people. He says, buy of me gold. He said, it's very simple. And I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, how about just read the Word of God? Do you know this book is alive? You know why I know it's alive? Because it lives in my heart. You know why I know it's alive? Because the book tells me it's alive. And those words, when I memorize these words and love these words and practice these words, my life is alive. You don't find somebody twice dead and plucked up by the roots? It's a person who ain't reading the book. I'm going to just throw this out here. If you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to make it in the Christian life. You're not. If you don't spend time in this book, you're not going to make it. Okay, it just ain't going to happen. Because what will happen is, when we're not in this book, that book speaks to me, that book preaches to me, that book lives for me, that book has promises for me, blessings for me, and you know what, if I'll get a hold of them, man, I'm telling you, I can live for God in a Laodicean attitude world. Read the Word of God. May I say to you, number two, how about listen to the Word of God? How many times did Jesus say, he that hath an ear, let him what? Last time I checked, we all got ears, right? He that hath ears, let him hear, he says at the end of this chapter, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to it recorded, and listen to it preached. That's the reason, folks, that preaching is so important in our lives. When we come to church, we need to listen on purpose to the preaching of the Word of God. You know what we're doing when we come to church? Buying gold. Investing in gold. Man, I listen to the radio all the time. You know what they're trying to do? Trying to get you to invest in gold. Am I right? Gold this, gold that, gold this. You know, and they're trying to get everybody to invest in gold. Hey, I'm trying to get you tonight. How about invest time in that book right there? Jesus said, I counsel thee, buy of me gold. You know what he said? You'll be rich. You'll be rich. Rich in what? Rich in faith. Rich in trust. Rich in comfort. Rich in love. All of the things that God says you're going to need to survive. You know what? This church was in a mess, man. They were in a city full of socialistic, humanistic, independent-minded people. How can we start a church here? How can the church survive? He said, let me give you some counsel. Buy of me gold. You know, these people understood that. Very commercial-oriented city. Gold was very, very popular. If gold what these people understood. They understood that type of trade. Read the Word. Listen to the Word. Can I say to you, proclaim the Word. Proclaim the Word. You know, while you're out, just tell somebody about Christ. You know, you don't have to, you say, well, I'm not sure how to go into detail. Listen, you don't have to know how to go into detail. Just talk to people. said, what do I have to say? Tell them how you got saved. Hey, the counsel is very simple. You know what he says? Buy of me gold. He said, you'll be rich. He said, what's the benefit of this, Brother Todd? Well, according to Psalm 119, verse number 11, the scripture says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hey, if I'm going to live in a Laodicean attitude, a self-centered, self-promoting world, you know what I'm going to have to do as a believer? I'm going to have to stay in the Word of God. I'm going to have to read it. I'm going to have to listen to it. I'm going to have to proclaim it. You say, okay, well, let's move on and find out what else he counsels them. Well, go and look at verse 18. He says, I counsel thee. He said, buy of me gold. But then skip down. He says, buy white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Stop. In the Bible, the color white represents purity, represents cleanliness. He says, buy of me white raiment, clothes, covering, to cover me up. Do you know in Romans chapter 13, verse number 14, the scripture reads this way? Paul says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what I'm supposed to cover myself in? I'm supposed to cover myself in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, you're going to make it? First of all, you're going to have to buy gold of me. You're going to have to be in this word. You're going to have to read this word, listen to this word, proclaim this word. He says, then I want you to buy of me white raiment to cover yourself. So how can I do that? That's going to only happen in a relationship. How about a devotion time? How about a time of prayer? How about a time where we just sit and after I pray and talk to God, you sit there and meditate, let Him talk to me? How about doing this, covering myself gives me assurance of security and protection? Man, I'm telling you, if I'm covered in Christ and I've got a relationship in Christ and I'm telling you I'm walking with God, let me tell you what that'll do for you, my friend. That will give you security and protection. Because you know what that world out there wants you to do? That world out there wants to do to you what it would love to do to these people here. He says, you know what that white raiment will do? He said that white raiment will cover you, it will clothe you, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Here's the counsel. Jesus said, I counsel you. Here's counsel point number one. Read the Bible. Here's counsel point number two. Have a relationship with God. Say, man, this is awful simple. But you know what? Isn't it amazing? Seems like the simplest things in Christianity we can't even do. And yet, here's what he counseled. And these people lived in a rough city, man. These people were rough. He says, here's the counsel. Stay in the Word of God. Buy me white raiment. Clothe yourself in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Spend time with Him. Talk with Him. Spend the time in the Scriptures with Him. Let Him do some talking. You do some talking. You know what I found out? Let Him do more talking than you talk. Here's the third thing that Jesus counseled them. He says, here's what you do. Buy me gold. Buy white raiment. Stay in the Word, cover yourself, clothe yourself in a relationship. And then notice what he says. He says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. That word anoint just simply means to apply or prepare. How many times did the Lord say in the Gospels that people have eyes to see, but they see not? And yet here's his counsel. He says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. That eye salve, that's like a healing balm. That's like a remedy. Say, what's the remedy for blindness? Well, according to the scriptures here, we can find a lot of remedies for blindness. By the way, when he's talking about here, anoint thine eyes, he's not literally saying, hey, go out to Walgreens and buy some eye salve and put in your eye. You know what he's talking about? He's not talking about your physical eye. He's talking about your spiritual eye. That spiritual eye needs to have some eye salve in it so you can see spiritual things. Take your Bible, if you would, with me. Go to Ephesians 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 quickly, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. All right, Ephesians 1, verse number 17. Ephesians 1, verse number 17. The Scripture says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Did you notice it says the eyes of your understanding? You know what we need to do, folks? We need to open our spiritual eyes and look on something else besides ourselves. You know, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, I want you to listen to it. Philippians 2, verse number 4, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on things of others. He says, you know what some of the problem is? The problem is we're looking on ourselves and our needs, and it's not no longer, what can I do for God? God, what can you do for me? Church, what can you do for me? You know, basically, that's how people go about finding a place to go to church, is what the church can do for them. What can you do for me? I wonder if how many people approach it with, well, let's see what I can do for the church. Let's see what I can do for them. And yet Jesus said, here's counsel number 3, anoint your eyes. Stop looking on things of yourself, which was the problem the city of Laodicea had. Because they were independent, self-centered, self-promoting, humanistic-minded. Jesus said again in John 4, verse number 35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. He said, man, you got to put some eye salve in your eyes so you can look on something else beside yourself, so that you can look around and see that there are other people that have needs. So that you can look on the fields, they're white in the harvest, there's multiple and multiple millions of souls. Look back here and I see Brother and Mrs. Bronca. They were missionaries for a while in India. India's wall-to-wall people. You know what? Harvest field. Look out there, the millions and millions of souls in India. Tomorrow, while you're driving to work, look at all the thousands and thousands of souls. Jesus said, look around. Look on the harvest. Look on the fields. They're already red, they're white already to harvest. You don't have to turn there, write this down. You read it in your spare time. Philippians 3:20. Paul says we need to be prepared and look for the Savior. These are the words that he actually writes in verse 20. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how I can live in Laodicea, an attitude, humanistic, socialistic, free everything world? Jesus said, here's my counsel, buy of me gold. Stay in the book. Read the book. Know the book. Know what I expect of you. He says, now number 2, buy of me white raiment. Got to have something to cover yourself with. Cover you, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, does not the Scripture say that they that walk in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh? You see, he says, buy me gold, buy me white raiment, and then he tells them counseling. He says, now here's the third thing, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. You got to get those eyes open. They've been on yourself too long. We've got to look out and understand that Jesus Christ is trying to make us and conform us into a servant. A servant. Let's look on and see what he counsels. Turn back, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 4. He says, all right, here's counsel number 4. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I said, what counsel is that? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Can I say this to you? These people had some problems, right? No commitment. Self-centered. Self-promoting. And yet, did you know that Jesus said, as many as I love, He loved them in spite of themselves. And He says, now I want you to understand something. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. So here's counsel number four. He said, now you've got to allow me now. You've got to allow me to rebuke and chasten you. Because you're not always going to do right. He says, you've got to allow me at some point to expose the errors of your way. And then when I expose the errors of your way, give you an opportunity to find out how to come back to me. And if you don't get mad at me now if I have to spank you. Don't get mad at me now if I have to chasten you. His counsel is, he says, I'm doing it not to hurt you. I'm doing it to help you because I love you. That seems like pretty simple counsel. You see, he's doing this out of love for our future. You know, God's got a plan for you. And you know why the Bible commands us to discipline our kids? You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to help them for their future. We're trying to help them on down the road. And you know what we have to drive out of them? We have to drive out of them that self-centered, self-promoting independence. Right? Because if we don't, guess what happens when they become adults? They're self-centered, self-sufficient, self-promoting, independent. And then they have problems in every other relationship. So you know what Jesus said? He said, listen, don't get angry now with me. He says, I've got to discipline you or rebuke you. I'm trying to help you. I love you. I'm trying to help you for your future. I think he did it not only out of love for our future, he does it out of love for our family. You know, sometimes he may have to discipline the father, the husband. Sometimes he may have to rebuke or discipline the wife. Sometimes he has to discipline, maybe rebuke and discipline the whole family. But I'm just here to tell you, you know what? He said, here's my advice. You're going to live for me. You're going to have to allow me to discipline you. Anybody in here growing up said, you know what? I never deserved spanking. I never deserved to be grounded. I never deserved to have my nose stuck in the corner. I didn't deserve any of that. You see what that attitude is? That's that Laodicean attitude. And it prevails. And Jesus said, you've got to allow me to rebuke you and chasten you. Now here's the third thing, the last thing, that the counsel that he gave them. He said, if you're going to live for me now in this area, in this Laodicean world, he said, you're going to have to buy of me gold. Buy the truth and sell it not. He said, number two, you're going to have to buy white raiment to cover yourself. You're going to have to develop a relationship. I'm just here to tell you, folks, the people of God, if you're not in this book and you do not have a relationship with God, you listen to me. I love you, but you ain't going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it in church. You're not going to make it in service for God until you stay in this book and in a relationship. And Jesus said, that's my counsel. He says, then get your eyes off yourself and start looking around. You know there's other people on the planet Earth besides you? Do you know there are other people that have great needs out there that you can meet? Do you know he's given each one of us incredible gifts and talents and abilities to use to help each other? He said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. He says, allow me to rebuke and chasten you. And then you notice the last time he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here's advice number five. Here's counsel number five. One word, repent. Repent. Man, we hear that word. You know how people, they get all crunched up when they hear that word repent because they think we're going to go off in some weird direction or something, I guess. But you know that word repent. How about just turn from your pride and humble yourself before God? Boy, you know something? Listen, I got to tell you something. Do you know when you sin, God already knows you did it? Let me tell you something else. He already knew you was going to do it before you ever did it. So, you know, when you get on your knees, you say, man, I just can't go back and ask God to forgive me for this. I've already been to him 100 times. Yeah, and you know what? He probably knows you're going to do it 100 more times too. That's the reason 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness every time I come. So he said, now, guys, so if you're going to live for God in Laodicea more, he said, here's what you got to do. You're going to have to be good repenters. He said, because you know what? You're going to fight battles and see, you're going to fight the mayor, you're going to fight the city council, you're going to fight everybody here. You know why? Because they're going to try to infiltrate your church with this philosophy. They're going to try to change the book. They're going to try to make it where you can't read the book. They're going to try to make it where you've got to have this and you've got to do this and you've got to do this. Somebody's got to stand up. He said, there's going to come a day, somebody's got to stand up. He said, you know what? And the people that will stand up are the people that buy of me gold. The people that purchase, buy the truth and sell it not. You know the people who stand up? The government ever comes and says, you know what? You can't have church unless you can't have an organized meeting like this unless you're registered with the state. You know that happens all over the world? They call them state churches and registered churches. You know who people will stand up against that? People who buy of me gold. That's who will do that. People who will buy white raiment. People who will anoint their eyes with eye salve and begin to look and minister to other people. You say, how can we live for God? You know what? Go win more people than they got. Hey, you know what? You know how we can take over Arlington? Y'all want to take over Arlington? Y'all want to decide who's mayor and who's on the city council? All we got to do is go win more than they got. We can sway an election. Wouldn't that be fun? Hey, I'm just here to tell you. He says, anoint your eyes with eyes. Allow me to rebuke and chase you. He says, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be anxious to repent. He says, I'm talking about immediate reconciliation with God. Listen to me. And man. You offend somebody, you know what you got to do? You got to leave your gift at the altar and go take care of it with man first and then come back. You see, there's got to be immediate reconciliation, immediate restoration of yourself. Listen, Lord, forgive me. I go to someone, I make it right with them, I get forgiven of them, I make it right with God. You know, sometimes we leave the third person out of that. You got to make it right with yourself and realize, if I've been forgiven of man, I've been forgiven of God, guess what? I'm forgiven. And if I'm right with man and I'm right with God, guess what? I'm right. And we forget to, we leave ourselves out of the equation. Now listen carefully. We don't have to fear the Laodicean attitude. Just follow Jesus' counsel that he gave the church about how to be right and productive. So how are we going to live for God in a Laodicean, self-promoting, self-centered, independent attitude that wants their way about everything? And folks, now you listen to me. If the Laodicean attitude that exists all around us tries to find its way into the church, we're in a mess. And what will be? It'll no longer be Trinity Baptist Church. It'll be just like these people. See, it wasn't the Laodicean Baptist Church. It was the church of the Laodiceans. So I guess, to make the analogy, I guess it would be the church of the Arlingtonians. I guess I'd be us. But you know why? You know why it can become that way? If we all decided, you know what? I want what I want. There's a certain type of preaching I like, and that's what I want. There's a certain type of music I like, and that's what I want. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about lining it up with the Bible first? Have we ever thought about, you know what? It's not what I want. How about what Jesus wants? You see, that attitude about me, 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 that's Laodicean. That's that non-committal. And you know what Jesus said that he does with those who are neither cold nor hot? He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. And folks, I don't want to be that way to you. And you know, I'm here to tell you tonight, you can live for God in a Laodicean world. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, Brother Todd, I already know I'm saved. No question. I already know I'm saved. I've accepted.